Right. Well, today we are going to conclude the sermon series we started some 4 weeks ago on the membership vows that we all take as United Methodist. I've titled this sermon series, as you remember, Membership Has Its Privileges. And we've been talking about what these different pieces of what we've been asked to do by the church, how that really is a privilege. And today we're going to talk about the privilege of being a witness. If you have your Bibles, you're welcome to follow along with me as we read from Acts chapter 1. I'm going to begin reading with verse 1, and I'm going to read through verse 8 of Acts chapter 1. In my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. During the 40 days after his crucifixion, he appeared to the apostles from time to time and actually proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift as he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" Jesus replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those days and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. In Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." May the Lord add a blessing to both the hearing and the reading of his holy word, and let us pray. We thank you, gracious God, for the opportunity we have to gather in worship with the community of faith today, and we praise you for the way that your Holy Spirit has worked among us thus far. And God, we pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to work among us. Particularly, Lord, in the next few minutes, I ask that my words would be your words. And Lord, I ask that I might decrease in this place in order that Jesus Christ might increase. And God, we ask that you would open our ears, open our minds, but most of all, open our hearts. That the words that you have for us today, Lord, that those words might be more for us than just information. Lord, we live in a time when we are bombarded by information on every side. Instead, Lord, we ask that the words that you bring to us today might be words of transformation. Indeed, may they transform our lives, our very beings. And may we leave this place today as transformed people because we encountered you today as you've been present for us in this worship service. All this we ask, not because of who we are, but because of our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ. And Lord, it's in the name of Jesus Christ that we offer up this prayer this morning, saying amen. Well, we've come to the end of our sermon series on the membership vows. And we are talking today about what it means to be a witness. What does it mean to be a witness? And specifically, I think, what does it mean to be a witness for Christ? You know, typically when we think of the word witness, we think of a courtroom scene, don't we? We think of something that would happen in a courtroom. We think of someone giving testimony. We use the word a lot in our culture, eyewitness, for someone who saw something directly and has become an eyewitness. But I think as we start to unpack and understand what it means for us to take our membership vows to be witnesses, we need to understand that there are witnesses who really make good impressions, and there are witnesses who really don't make good impressions. And I want to show you a video clip right now of a witness who didn't make such a good impression on everyone in the courtroom.
"You gentlemen, please try to be a little more quiet in the court."
"Certainly, Judgey, the gate is locked."
"Would you please step forward?" "No, no, no. Prepare yourself for the witness box."
your hat. Now raise your right hand. Now place your left hand here.
Take off your hat.
Raise your right hand. Now put your left hand here.
Please take off your hat.
Raise your right hand. Now put your left hand here.
Will you please take off your hat?
Raise your right hand. Now put your left hand here.
Take off your hat.
Raise your right hand. Will you get rid of that hat?
Raise your right hand.
Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
Huh?
Do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
Are you trying to give me the double talk?
Do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
Why don't you answer him?
He's talking pig Latin. I don't know what he's saying.
He's asking you if you swear...
No, but I know all the words.
He's asking you if you'll swear to tell the truth.
Truth is stranger than fiction, Judgy Wudgy.
Kindly address this court as your honor and take the oath.
Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Certainly. What have I got to lose?
Take the stand.
Where did I put it?
No, no. Take the stand.
I got it. Now what'll I do with it? Sit down.
Okay, just for the record, that's not the kind of witness that God is calling us to be. Even though many times I think because we really don't have a good grasp of what it means to be a witness for Christ, we come off looking like Curly did when he tried to be a witness. Because you see, the important thing about the word witness is that witnesses are called to court to do one thing and one thing only. They're called to testify. They're called to testify. They're called to testify to their experience, what they have seen, what they know about the case. They are called to testify. And sometimes I think we miss this part of what it means to be a witness for Christ. Now, I understand why we miss this sometimes, because I know you have had experiences, as I have had, with people who use the word witness and witnessing for Christ as an excuse to assault every person they come in contact with and say, "Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus?" And that is the Curly witness style. It turns people off. It is something that they don't want to hear and they don't want to listen to. And when I think about how the church has called us all to be witnesses, how that's part of the membership vows, I think it's something other than just trying to evangelize someone than assaulting somebody and asking them if they know Jesus. I think it's something that really is intended to be something that we do every day, something that comes naturally, that we should be witnesses to Christ in all of our lives, in all the things that we do, we should be witnesses. And we shouldn't think about this just as some sort of evangelism program, because I think it's more than that. Indeed, the Greek word that's used in this passage from Acts about being a witness is martys, M-A-R-T-Y-S, which is where we get the word martyr. Martyr, as you know, is somebody who loses their life for the faith, who gives up their life for the faith. And it's interesting, isn't it, to think about that is what witness meant in the Greek. That's what witness was referring to, somebody who might even give their life up for the faith. And in the book of Acts, over and over again, as you read the part of the history of the early church, I think that one of the things that we see is that this word witnesses comes up over and over and over and over again. It's not just in the first chapter. It comes up over and over and over again. You will be my witnesses. We have been his witnesses. We will be his witnesses. We have witnessed to what we have seen. We have testified, if you will, to what we know. And that's the important part about being a witness, is being willing to testify to what you know. What you know is the truth, what you know about Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes when we get this word testify, when we think about that, we do have this image of walking up to someone and telling them, testifying, which, again, I think this should be a natural part of our day. It should be a natural part of who we are. And because we love and serve Jesus, because we are faithful disciples, it shouldn't be very difficult at all for us to be witnesses for Him. To be witnesses for Him. To talk about our experience of Christ in our daily lives as it comes up. Without going up and trying to assault someone and say, hey, do you know about Jesus, it could be something that just comes up in our daily life, something that is so integrated, I think, within who we are that it's just natural for us to talk to other people when we have the opportunity about what Jesus Christ has done for us, and more importantly, about what Jesus Christ is currently doing for us. You see, that's what it means to be a witness, to testify to what Christ is doing in your life. And just as the old quote that was attributed to St. Francis, preach the gospel at all times, if necessary, use words, sometimes it's not the words that we need as much as people need to see the Jesus Christ working in our lives and the fact that being a disciple of Christ makes a difference. Now, as I say that, I want to be very careful here because I know sometimes we think we are afraid to be witnesses. We are afraid to be a witness for Christ because we say, you know what? All I had to do is get somebody, and I'm talking about me here, all I had to do is let somebody ride in the car with me for about 30 minutes, particularly in some bad, heavy traffic with some inconsiderate drivers, and they might not see the witness in Christ that normally resides in me. Are you with me? They might not. But you know what? Here's the fact. The fact is that none of us are perfect. And if we try to wait until such time as we are perfect and we have it all together before we become witnesses for Christ, we will never do it. Because we can never get there. You can't get to perfect. And I think that one of the things that the world needs to see in us, those of us who profess faith in Jesus Christ, those of us who say we are followers, those of us who say that we are disciples, one of the things that the world needs to see is that we can blow it, we can make a mistake, we cannot be perfect, but then we stop and say, hey, I'm sorry. I blew it. And we say it to the world, and we say it to God, and we believe, and the world can see that we operate out of forgiveness and grace. Are you with me? I mean, that's what we got to operate out of forgiveness and grace, because we cannot be perfect. And if there's anything the world needs less of, well, as I say that, there's probably a lot of things the world needs less of, right? But if there's one thing that the world needs less of, it needs less sanctimonious followers of Jesus acting like they have it all together, acting like they're perfect, because sooner or later they stumble. And then when they stumble, it makes us all look as ridiculous as Curly Howard trying to take the oath. Raise your right hand. Take off your hat. It makes us look absolutely ridiculous. And wouldn't it be better for the world to see true, faithful followers of Jesus Christ who were willing, when they blew it, when they weren't perfect, to apologize to others and to God, and to say, hey, you know, because we are a people of grace, a people who believe that God forgives, then we can keep going. That, my friends, I think, is the ultimate witness that you and I could have for Jesus Christ. And it's the ultimate witness I think we could have as the church. Because again, as I said to you last week and several weeks before, we don't have the best reputation when people look out in at us and they're not at all sure what's going on in here. But they think that, you know, this is a place where all the saints gather to pat each other on the back and talk about all the great things that they did during the week. When in fact, what this is the hospital for sinners, where we come in and realize once again, not only that we can't do it ourselves, that we didn't do it, and we ask forgiveness from God and from each other and gain strength to go back out into the world. Now that's an image, I think, that the world needs to see. As we celebrate today, this Pentecost Sunday and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, you'll remember in the scripture that Jesus said, you're going to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to fall upon you. And what was going to happen after that? And you're going to be my witnesses. My witnesses, Jesus said, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And I think what that says to us as we think about this idea of being a witness, that it's not enough just to be a witness in Gallatin or Hendersonville. That's part of it. But we need to be a witness in Tennessee. We need to be a witness in the United States, and we need to be a witness in the world. Our witness does not stop at the city limits or the state line or even the boundaries of our country. We are called to be witnesses to the whole world. But it starts, folks, right here. And I've got to tell you, one of the things that I think we lose when we think about being a witness is we forget what a privilege it is to be able to share with people what Jesus Christ has done for us. There's not a one of you sitting here today, not a one of us that's here today that hasn't had some experience where Jesus Christ worked among us, where the Holy Spirit led us somewhere to do something. And the amazing thing about God is this, is that God always, always is willing to bring people into our lives who need to hear what God has done for us. And what really surprises me is how many times God brings somebody into my life that needs to hear how God worked me through a tough situation that occurred in my life sometime in the past. And how many times has it been that God has said, had somebody say to me, you know, I've had this situation right here and I just don't know what to do. I'm stuck here. Or you know what, I've had this particular situation that's come upon me. I'm in this trial. I'm having this problem. And you know what, it just so happens to be one of the exact problems that I've had in my life that God has worked me through. And guess what? That's a perfect opportunity to be a witness. So you see, being a witness is not all about going around saying, hey, do you know Jesus Christ? Hey, don't you want to come to our church? Hey, wouldn't you? I think the best witness that we have is the witness to the grace of Jesus Christ that we encounter in everyday life. And I think that if we will be attentive to the times in our daily lives, to the people in our lives that God brings to us, if we'll be attentive to the times where we have the opportunity to say, wow, wow, I know how you feel because it has happened to me. And let me share with you how God got me through that. Let me share with you what being a follower of Jesus Christ did for me. And you know, sometimes I think that we're afraid to say that because what we know is that being a follower of Jesus Christ means that it's not always easy. Can somebody say amen? It is not always easy. And we're afraid to say, you know, when I was in that situation, when that happened to me, it was one of the hardest things I ever did. And it was hard for me to continue to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. But if there's anything that God needs us to share as witnesses to the world, it's the times when it's very difficult to be a disciple because there are enough people out there saying that, oh, you know, come follow Jesus and everything's going to be okay. You'll win the lottery, never have a problem again in the world. It'll all be okay. And I think a lot of people know that that's not true. And again, it makes us look ridiculous. And instead, what we need to say, you know what? Being a disciple of Jesus Christ is tough. But here's why I keep doing it. Here's why I keep doing it. The grace, the mercy, the forgiveness, the peace, the strength that I get from being a disciple in Jesus Christ, I can't find anywhere else. And I've tried a whole bunch of stuff. But I can't find that anywhere else. And you know what? I don't know if it'll work for you, but boy, it sure has made a difference for me. You see, that's a testimony. That's being a witness. That's being somebody who is willing to say and willing to express that, boy, it is a privilege. It is a privilege for me to tell you about my experience with Jesus Christ and what that has done for me. And again, I think that God will over and over again give us opportunities, if we're attentive to them, for us to share our story. And when you start to do that, you're going to be amazed at how many people out there have something in common with you. And they need to hear about the graceful, loving God that came to us in Jesus Christ, that poured out the Holy Spirit upon all of us so that we could go out and share His love, share Him with others, to share the experiences that we've had. So my prayer for all of us today as we celebrate this great day of Pentecost, and I know it was probably a little odd to read the first chapter of Acts instead of the second chapter where the Holy Spirit falls upon all the people. But as we think about what our membership vows to the church mean, we need to remember that it's about our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and ultimately our witness. What kind of witnesses are we willing to be? What kind of testimony are we willing to give to the world? And again, it's not about being perfect. It's about being willing to acknowledge that because you're not perfect, that you can say, hey, I'm sorry. I blew it. And I have a God who loves me. I have a Jesus who I'm following who has promised forgiveness. And I'm going to try again and start all over. Because you see, the grace that works in us is also the grace that is working in others, even others that we don't have any outward signs that God might be working on them. We call that prevenient grace, that God is working among people even before sometimes they know who God is. And the way that we respond to the world is to say, hey, this is who we are. This is the God that loves me. This is the Jesus Christ that I've given my life to follow. And sometimes following Jesus Christ means that I'm going to fall flat on my face. But I got a community of people called the church that's willing to help me get up. I've got a God who's willing to forgive me because of what Jesus Christ did. And I want you to know that that's what we do. We fall, we get up, we make amends for what we've done, and we keep going. That, brothers and sisters, is a witness that the world wants desperately to see from all of us. So, what kind of witness are you today? Do you look as ridiculous as Curly Howard? Sometimes I have. But we must remember that it is a great privilege for us to be able to be witnesses for those around us, and that the witness that we bring to the world of being a different community, a community based on love and forgiveness and grace and mercy, is just the kind of community that the world is going to look in and go, I want to be a part of that. Because they know, just like you and I know, they've tried everything, and they may be in the process right now of trying something. It might be something that's acceptable or something that's not acceptable, but they're trying hard to figure out what it is that they really need. And it's up to us to be witnesses to the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ to everyone in the world. so that they may know that there is a Savior. And remember, it's not always about what you say. Sometimes it's more about what you do and how you live. And if we live as people of grace, mercy, and forgiveness, and are willing to ask for forgiveness for our mistakes from each other and from others, then we will be witnesses like the world has never, ever seen. So may we go from this place today and say to God, God, here I am. I want to be your witness. Work in me. And give me the opportunity to tell somebody, to testify what you have done for me. Amen.